John 17:11, and now I am no more in the world, but thee are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd speak through me today. I am nothing. You are everything. I pray that your word would be preeminent. I pray that you would help me to say nothing amiss, be it those teaching downstairs. Thank you, Lord, for having children to even have a need for a junior church. We thank you for that. Bless the teachers. Lord, empty me of sin. Forgive me of sin. Empty me of self. And please fill me with your spirit today. I am nothing without you. So help me today, please. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We've talked about there's four key things in John 17. The first was an upward focus, the summary, if you would. He talks to the Father. Then there was an inward focus, the first five verses. He talks to the Father about himself. And finishing up in verse 4, I like this, that his accomplished the work, finished the work. And then now, starting in 6 through 19, he prayed for the preservation of his disciples, the ones he called. And I was thinking this morning during Sunday school, as Brother Phil brought the lesson today, about how I wonder if there were others other than the 12 he called to him whom he would. But we know, I wonder if there were other people who were also following and also serving, and we don't even know their names. Now, we know he chose the 12 among other disciples, but you don't have to have your name in lights, if you would, to serve the Lord. And some of the disciples, I think there's some that we don't have any spoken word of in the entire New Testament. And yet they were the 12. So serving the Lord is not about being president or dictator or whatever you want. It's about just graciously, humbly doing what God has asked you to do. That's what it's about. And so he's praying for his disciples in verse 11. I am no more in the world. His own detachment is just nearly complete. Now, this is the Passion Week. This is specifically, if you think about Friday crucifixion, Thursday night late. He's either in the upper room having finished and been speaking to the disciples, speaking with the disciples, and still there, ready to go to Gethsemane, or he stopped for a moment on the way to Gethsemane, on the way to the cross. The next day, he's going to be crucified and give up his spirit and die on the cross at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. This is that night, the night before the crucifixion. So I am no more in the world. He's finished. And his mind and heart and soul, he's already on his way to the Father, I think, in his mind. He's done the work. Have you ever met people at your job and they're ready to getting ready to go on vacation, perhaps for a couple of weeks, and the Friday before they leave, they're in vacation mode already. And so they're not doing anything. And they're like, nah, 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 nah. I said, you know, like cleaning their desk. You're in vacation mode already. That's right. Nothing wrong with vacations. They're wonderful things. But he's getting ready to go. He's going to go back to the Father. Can you imagine the joy when he returns to heaven? He's looking forward to that. And he says in verse 17, he says these words, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Language makes a difference. If you learn nothing else, in the last 10 years in America, across the world, people can hijack words to make them completely, utterly different than they are. The Holy Father, or when does he use the word Father? Or sometimes he says Righteous Father. Why the difference? Well, when he says Father, there's a special relationship between the Father and the Son. So he simply might say Father. There's no clash of wills. Then sometimes he says Holy Father, as in this verse. A sanctifying relationship. The disciples were to remember that they were serving a holy God. We would do well the same. There's so much lackadaisicalness, if that is a word, so much apathy toward putting God first, not just first, preeminent. The way you talk, the way you dress, the way you look. I'm not saying there's a certain criteria, but I'm telling you, you should do the part that doesn't bring dishonor to God. I never, not that you want to see it. I never go outside without a shirt on. Never, ever. I rarely go outside with a long shorts on unless I'm trying to run the mailbox or something, because I don't have a permission to wear it. I don't have permission to go shirtless. And no one wants to see me shirtless. So I just, you know, rather than saying, somebody drive by, he doesn't have permission, but he doesn't have his shirt off outside. But there's little things that we do that are not that could be stumbling blocks. I'm not sure. I'm just saying we have to draw closer to God. There should be different. He's a holy God. Amen. This OM, please don't ever type OMG on your texting.
Yeah.
Never, ever, ever. And don't pass something on that has it on it.
That's right.
I mean, there's just some basic things that you, and don't, and I, don't be using slang words.
Yeah.
Now, it's tempting to use slang words.
Yeah.
But you see, all these different, He is a holy God. And I'm telling you, when you get to heaven, I would much rather say, you know, I didn't do this because I didn't want to bring this honor to you, Lord. I didn't use your name in vain because your name is righteous and holy. Chuck Allen and I, we text different times, and I'll say, and I reserve this word, awesome, for God. Our God is an awesome God. In my thinking, there's only, and I might not, you don't have to do the same, but we throw around these terms so flippantly. And where's the room for God? There's nothing like our God.
Amen.
He's a holy Father, and the disciples were not to forget that. And then he says, also, a righteous Father, other places. Now, I have to tell you, righteous Father, there is a solemn relationship between God and the world, as you will see in a few moments. The world and God are at odds. Not the created world. It's His. We understand one day it's going to be changed. We understand all that. But the world system, what the world wants and what God wants, they are opposite. You want the world's religion, it's evolution. It's secularism. It's socialism. It's all these isms that are contrary. They don't want God. We don't believe in God. We're not going to be under God. So we're going to have all these different... It's Islam. It's Buddhism. Shintoism. Confucianism. All these things are standing against the righteous, holy God. So when I and you... adopt worldly things. It just doesn't work.
That's right.
Yeah. It just doesn't work. Because the world and God can't be reconciled at this point in time. So all these worldly things I'm carrying around, my wife and I are still reading through Pilgrim's Progress, we're carrying around as baggage, all these things, worldly things, they detract from God. Do you see that?
Yeah.
And as you draw closer to God, the things that bother you are going to become more numerous and they're going to drop by the wayside. It's that laying aside those things which does so easily beset us and running with patience the race that is set before us. What convicts me does not convict you, perhaps, and what convicts you does not convict me. Do you see what I'm saying? The closer, the things may not even be bad things, but they're holding me back. Holding me back. Perhaps that TV you've got on all the time. I'm far better off for not having TV in the house. I used to follow, and there's nothing wrong with sports. I love sports, but I'm telling you, I'm a lot better off by not trying to follow all the things going on at one time. Now, fishing, I still like to watch those fishing videos, but every once in a while. But do you see what I'm saying? I trust you do. The world is contrary to God. Please remember that. So, that was the part of the, this is the outward focus, the disciples, and there was a prayer for preservation. Secondly, in 12, he prayed for their protection. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. First, the Lord reviews his testimony. While I was with them, I kept them by thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. He's always keeping them from the world, if it would. Do you remember in Matthew 19? Why do John's disciples fast and yours do not, Jesus? And he explained it to them.
Yeah.
And then there was a story about they come down from the mountain and the disciples couldn't cast the demon out of the little boy. Well, let me tell you why they couldn't. Because it comes by faith, etc. And then there was, what about paying taxes? Well, let me help you with that. And then you turn over to John chapter 18, which is another, an unbelievable, he's protecting his disciples again. John 18, 7 and 8. They're in the garden. Then he asked them, saying, "Who seek ye?" The mob has come on the scene. They said, "Jesus of Nazareth." He said, "I have told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way." He's always thinking of others. So he has stood in harm's way for the disciples during the earthly ministry. I'm telling you, he's standing in harm's way for us. Oh, pastor, how does he do that? He makes intercession for us. When you pray these wonky self-centered prayers, well, now, Lord, what And what we really need is... Then the devil comes and says, look at that Timothy Scott right down there in Heberland Road. What a mess he is. And he doesn't... Yes, but he's trusted me as personal Savior. His sins are under the blood.
Amen.
He's making intercession for me and you. Aren't you glad he's not like you and I? Pastor Phil has a really bad week. He does some really terrible things. And Satan says, look, Lord, look, and I'm his advocate. Pastor Phil's done some bad things. Yes, man, I can't believe he did that. I'm surprised you even have him as one of your children now. I mean, I can't believe I would never do something like that. But man, he's just a rugged old soul. Aren't you glad God doesn't do that? Because none of us would be able to stand. If thou shouldest regard iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? None. N-O-N-E. None of us. Sadly, I don't know if you have read any statistics. By the way, I may have replaced my watching TV for reading. If you read any statistics, the biggest, you know what the fastest growing religious group is in America today? It is N-O-N-E. The nuns. I have no religious affiliation. I do not need such baggage or a walking stick or a crutch to lean upon. Sad. Isn't that sad? Here in America. But none of us will stand if God is to regard iniquity. And we find that the Lord reviews His testimony, and the Lord reviewed also a tragedy there. Those in verse 12 that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. One such scripture is Psalm 41:9. If you turn back to John 13:18, John quotes that for us. Jesus quoted by Jesus, actually, but John records it for us. John 13:18. Referring to Psalm 41:9, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but the scripture may be fulfilled, that he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. The Lord took a sop at the Last Supper and gave to whom? To Judas. Clear fulfilling of that prophecy. The son of perdition. The word lost there appears 12 times in the Gospel of John. It's a word used of the doom of the sinner and one of the strongest words in the Greek language for stating final and hopeless destruction. They are lost. I have lost the key to my riding mower. I may find it someday. I may not find, but it's not lost like this. Lost. Because it probably fell in the trash can. I've probably thrown it away. Because I have this little thing. I put it in the same place every single time. Up there on the shelf. I must have pulled it off and dropped it right in the trash. I don't know where it is. Only the Lord knows. And I have Mr. Womack start praying for it because he finds things when he loses them. So maybe he can pray for my key to the mower. But otherwise, I'm getting a little screwdriver. Just going to go from there. So there we are. We're going to go on from that. Lost. Let's use one other time. Can you think with me for just a moment where that son of perdition, 2 Thessalonians 2:3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. The only other place New Testament used. So some have hopped onto the bandwagon that Judas must be the resurrected Antichrist. I'm not hopping on that bandwagon. They're both lost. For eternity. Interesting. One man, Alfred, says, it is not I lost none, but the son of perdition. Christ did not lose him. Compare 18:9. Where there's no exception. But he, Judas, lost himself.
That's
right. And we will notice that word perdition there is a derivative of the verb perished. None perished, but the one who should perish, whose very state and attribute was to perish. The son of perdition, says Morris, points to the character rather than the destiny. The expression means that he was characterized by a lostness, not that he was predestined to be lost. I believe he made a choice to choose to reject Christ, characterized by lostness. That was, can you imagine, you've walked with Jesus for perhaps 3.5 years. You've seen everything. Wake up, man. Wake up. He's shown himself to be the Son of God in word and action day in, day out. And we just have a smidgen recorded for us in the Bible. Can you imagine? Well, John says it so well. The books could not contain it if all about Jesus were written. And yet, he has so much testimony. Judas from Iscariot, yet rejected the Christ. Do you know why? Well, I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. Do you know why? I'm just guessing. He saw the world as more important than Jesus. Why would you say that? Because he held the money. He was looking for a kingdom where he could be vice president in charge of finance. He was becoming secretary of state. He wanted to do something like that. Christ's kingdom was coming. I tell you, who would think that? James and John and everybody else of the 12? Can we get to the kingdom, Lord? Can I be on one hand? His mother, their mother asked, can one be on one hand, one be on the right, one on the left when you get to your kingdom? Can we do that? They wanted place, power, position. That's what they wanted. It wasn't until after. I love that, Brother Phil, this morning. It wasn't until after they spent time with Jesus could they then go out and minister and preach and share and give glory. You're wondering why the sermons are so dry and so tedious and so boring, other than the fact that I'm giving them. It might be that your heart spiritually is dry and tedious and boring because you have not spent diddly squat time with Jesus this week. And that's not very good to say that way, maybe. I'm telling you, when are we going to get this over and understand if you want to be spiritually mature, there are no shortcuts. You must spend time with God. And I'm telling you, it's harder. It's harder to do this, spend time with God, than it is to not. Because if I don't spend time with God, I can read more books that I want to read. I can watch more TV. I can spend more time on the fishing lake. I can do all this if I'm not spending time with God. But I'm telling you, the peace of God that passes understanding comes when you know Him. It's worth the effort. Worth the effort. I was playing the piano this morning, practicing, and I can go only about 1 minute. My hands start hurting already. Because I used to be able to practice 45 minutes without a blink when I was in college and didn't hurt a bit. I'm telling you, I can't. I start doing the exercises. My wife's probably wondering why I quit so quick. It just hurts. It just hurts sometimes. But why is that? Because you've not been practicing. You're absolutely right. I haven't been practicing. And I wonder, I can tell if you've been practicing. I can tell. And you can tell it about me if I've not been practicing this. I want to be a giant spiritually. Praise the Lord. Go for it. But you must go with Him. And you must spend time with Him. There are no shortcuts to spiritual maturity. I can be immature. I mean, I can do it in opera. You see it every sermon almost, pretty much. Immaturity coming out of me. It just comes natural. I don't even work at it. Can you imagine if I worked at being immature? Okay, don't imagine that. Don't even imagine that. Shall we move on? We shall. Let's get back on the main spur. I'm not sure there's a main spur. Yeah, there is a main spur. It's verse 13. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak of the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Wait just a moment. The joy that was set before him. I'm telling you, I'm going to the cross. I am not joyful. Jesus was. Because why? You're asking me too many questions. That's how you learn. Asking questions is a great way to teach people. Why? He was doing his Father's will. The joy he's experiencing, it's almost over. I'm going to the cross tomorrow. And then I'm going to be with my Father again. And I don't know what kind of celebration there was in heaven. You can look in Psalm 24. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even be up the everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who's the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And whoa, the gates fly open. And here he comes. Can you imagine the angels singing? Can you imagine the Old Testament saints, the New Testament saints, that he'd taken back with him the glory? Can you imagine what it's like when we get there, when he brings all of us home to heaven after the rapture of the church? He comes back for us, goes back to heaven, and here we go. Wow. Do you not think about things like that? That's what we're waiting for. Amen. I don't know what you got going on this week. Probably, that's not nearly as important. It might be important. Not nearly as important as what you're doing for God. What spending time with Him. If you're too busy to spend time with God, you're way too busy. You do what you want to do. I heard that this morning somewhere. But you do what you really want to do. Want to spend time with God? You're going to get up earlier. They asked me at one of the senior centers. I can't remember which one it was this week, somewhere along this week. It was Thursday at Elliott County. And they said something about, you had to get up pretty early to get down here by 8:30. I said, well, I get up every day at 5:30, except 5:15, except Saturday, and I sleep until 6:30. Wow, 6:30 on Saturday. Wow, I love Saturday, 6:30, woohoo! 5:15. But you know, I used to sleep until like 6:30, 7. Just skinny on by, in Williamson. And then I found out, you know what, if I want to spend time with God, I got to start disciplining myself. Yeah. And you and I have to do the same thing. But it's worth it. Yeah. Honestly, I can tell you it's worth it. It makes life, I'm telling the Christian life, I'm not selling you a bill of goods. Christian life is harder. But it's worth it. But He is with us all the way. I can say, Lord, I don't know why all of a sudden the cats rush upstairs this morning and it sounds like I thought it was the washer. All those things. It was the dryer. So I opened the door. I just made did it twice. The cats were, what was going on because they get scared downstairs. I don't know. Fortunately, I have a gas dryer downstairs we hardly ever use, but it worked today. There we go. Don't know why these things happen, but God has a reason for those. Teach me to read the Bible more on Sunday mornings instead of putting a load of laundry in, I guess. We don't know. He prayed for their protection. Verse 14, I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world. Even I am not of the world. Given them thy word. Do you know why the world hates Christians? By the way, most of us, maybe not all of you, may not. We are the religious. We are the far, and I am the far, far right when it comes to conservatism. And you, if you believe the Bible, you are the far right now. It's funny because I have not moved. I have been the same place. I have been for 30 years, 40 years, and now I have moved from whatever to. I'm no longer a fundamentalist. I am a far-right fanatic. Simply because I believe what the Bible says. It's unfair, but that's... it's a minimum, though. It's unfair. But isn't that what the Lord has promised? They hated me, they're going to hate you. Now, it doesn't mean that I am supposed to. Now, I just saw this past week that a preacher in Canada got arrested at a pride event. I don't know how much he was doing inappropriately. I think maybe he'd been shouting. But anyway, regardless, I'm not trying to get attention. I'm not trying to get arrested. But I'm telling you, I'm never going to compromise. I was talking yesterday. I'm tired of compromising and saying what you believe is wrong. You got to move. Do you know the world never comes our way?
That's right.
Do you know that? Every time they ask you to compromise, they'll do this. Well, then, we're not over here and here. It's so unfair.
That's right.
So unfair. God promised it.
Amen.
Oh, Pastor, then we've got to give up. We've got to cave in. No! No. Don't cave in.
Right.
Stand upon the one truth. Verse 17. Thy word is truth. Recent study came out, I think it was last week, I saw it on LinkedIn, maybe it was this week. In Germany already, they've already have a medical study, four of them, I believe, where those who have been transgendered are lonelier now than they were before they were wanting to be transgendered. Where are we going to hear that? What is the truth? The baby in the womb from the moment of conception is God's gift. Period. You and I are going to be put on the front lines this coming election time. Well, are some abortions okay? No. 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 You're getting carried away, Pastor. I'm telling you. You start saying, okay, well, this and this and then where do you stop?
That's right.
Now, there are times when in the history of mankind, when a woman, generally the woman gave her life for the child. Before anesthesia, I am thinking 20% of women died in childbirth before anesthesia. I don't know, Mrs. Lauderdale, my other nurses may know. But it was an amazing statistic how many women. Oh, just look in the Bible. Look in the Bible. Rachel, I just read it this morning. Rachel, as she was dying, gave birth to Benoni. And he called him Benjamin, son of my right hand. And she died at Migdal Eder, the tower of the flock, where I believe Christ was born for us. Well, you have got to stand on what the Bible says. The world does not want you to stand, but we must. Is that Bible? If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him, says 1 John 2:15. 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the what? The world. Do you know that back in chapter 3 of Genesis, we have Eve and Adam, and Eve is there, and what does she decide in verse 6? She says, and to quote God in His Word, listen to this. Does it sound familiar? And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to desire to make one wise, 1:16, 1 John, for all is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Why do you think that Satan still uses the same traps?
Right.
It ain't broke, don't fix it. Right. And he's going to try with you this week the same kind of things. I don't know what he flies in your face with temptation. Perhaps it's looking at the wrong things, reading the wrong things, some kind of habit. I don't know what it is, or your language, or your, I don't know. I don't have to know. But you know. And don't say it out loud necessarily, because Satan cannot read your mind, but he can hear what you say. I love Diet Mountain Dew. He doesn't care about that. So I can say it out loud. Now, he may just like close the spigot. Mr. Dixon, if it ever comes, they're going to close that spigot on Diet Mountain Dew. Let me know, because I'm really going to stock up for a long time. Mr. Dixon works for Pepsi across the river. He doesn't care. He does. Do you see? He wants what's... But, Pastor, the world looks so attractive, and it is attractive. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Do you love the world this morning? Do we love the world? Now, we love them. We want to see them saved. Teddy Scalf got saved recently. He's having a liver transplant on the 7th of July, but he got saved before he's going under surgery. That's exciting news! I just read this on Facebook. Mrs. Bastow started a women's Bible study. She had all kinds of problems with her projector. But she said, you know what? 11 or 12, I've led them all myself to the Lord individually. We're starting a church in Palapad. That's going to be our Bible school money. To send church money to them to get that church going. It's going to be our project. What am I doing? People, she led, in that one instance, 11, 12 people to the Lord. They're doing a great work. When's the last time I really sat down with someone and talked to them about, well, we're so busy. Yes, we're too busy. We're too busy. Pastor, you're not even on the same. I am. I have to tell you, I'm not even on the same track I was when I originally started. But I'm telling you, we have got to jettison the world. He's praying for them. Why? They're going to be in the world. This is an adversarial place. There's a little spider called the diving bell spider. And I'll close with this, I think. Maybe. And the water spider, it's an amazing thing. Now, I don't like spiders. I have an acrophobia, but I just have a phobia against them. I have an actual phobia, not an acrophobia. Whatever it is, I don't know. And the diving bell spider, he will take and he'll spin him a bell-sized web, and he'll put it under the water. And then he'll get some air, and he'll go under there, and he'll inject that air into that web he has spun, and so he can live underwater in his little diving bell spot. Now, I don't know who he's trying to collect or protect or eat, whatever, but he's under there. He captures a surface air bubble and pulls it down and puts it, oh, that just happened by chance, Pastor. Over about 3 million years, they've changed, and that spider used to be on the tree. And now he just sort of like, and he went down one day and he drank water out of the lake. And you know, I like it. I wonder if I could just, please don't believe things like that. I'm telling you, our God is an awesome God.
Amen.
Even when it comes to spiders. And so he's down there in his environment, and he lives in this air-filled sack, and does what, I don't know what he does down there. I really don't want to know what he's doing now, but the whole purpose is this. We are to live in an environment that could destroy us. You hear about people almost, not every week, Christians who have let down their guard. They've gone a really bad direction. Now they can pray to get right with God.
Yeah.
It doesn't start, I'm going to be here today, and tomorrow I'm going to be on Skid Row, completely besotted with alcohol and good to nobody. It starts with, oh, I think I missed my reading Bible this today. It wasn't so bad. So the next 2 days, you know, I'm going to miss it again because I got so much to do. I think I'm going to miss church. You know, the bass are biting, the crappie are biting down at Guntersville. I'm teasing Mr. McParty. I got to go. And then the next week I haven't prayed today either, but you know what? God knows my needs. And before long, I'm not going to church, I'm not praying, I'm not reading the Bible. And you know what? I found some new friends. I started going to this place. And before long, I'm over here. I'm never here. And before I know it, I told someone just yesterday, if we're not careful, a year from now, if we don't keep walking with God, we're going to be where those people are.
Yeah.
It's because you don't take care of your spiritual walk. Christ prayed for disciples. I'm telling you, he's praying for us. You read the rest of the chapter.
Amen.
And praise the Lord, he is. So what's my application? Read God's Word. Be in his house. Pray for others. Tell others. Do what he's... Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you can take a very stumbling, rambling at times, pastor. But Lord, my heart is for our people. My heart is for myself, that I would walk with you. That I would do nothing that would betray you. I would do nothing that would bring harm to the cause of Christ. Lord, you prayed for your disciples. You're praying for us. You're making intercession for us. Lord, help us to walk with you this week. Lord, if we've allowed things into our lives that are absolutely, we know, displeasing, may we confess, forsake, ask for forgiveness, and get them out of our lives. Lay aside these weights that are so easily besetting us, and then run with patience the race that is set before us. Enduring, carrying on, because we're looking forward to the crown, the victor lap, Lord, Sunday. And we're running that victor lap all the way to heaven. Wow, it was worth it all. And I believe when I get to heaven, I wish I'd given him more, so much more. So Lord, help us this week. May we be about your business. May we walk with you. Lord, if there's a need this morning for salvation, church membership, baptism, and you've spoken to a heart, please help them to respond. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.